What's up, Fight Fan? You are listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Sunday, March 31st, 2024, and this week's episode, Eyes on Summer. We'll talk about this past Saturday's UFC event from Atlantic City and the flyweight main event between Aaron Blanchfield and Manon Fiore. Talk about the latest in MMA news, quite a few fight announcements, things are really moving along for the summer. And we'll cap it off by talking about this coming Saturday's UFC event from the Apex, Brendan Allen taking on Chris Curtis for the second time. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Hello, Double G. Happy Easter. Hope you got a
Likewise, couple thank of you.
Some Easter candy or some kind of something Easter-related. Did you high-five the Easter bunny?
Let me tell you something. I always chow down on one of those, you know, deliciously rich milk chocolate rabbits, I'll tell you.
Okay,
that
right you now. Do the rabbits. Ears first, tail first, face first.
Ears always ears. First.
Okay, got it.
Always ears first. I don't trust people who start from the feet. I'll
it's
say
weird.
It right now.
Yeah, because it's like there's clearly a top.
Yes, it's exactly. It's like cutting a sandwich awkwardly. Like, can't do it. Don't trust people who do. Look, obviously quite the week. I'm not going to lie. It didn't feel like we'd have a lot to talk about around Wednesday, and then things just started popping off, no? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to get into it. Let's talk about last night's UFC main event from Atlantic City. Quite the event. I want to acknowledge that now. I think there are a few people kind of looking at this card, and I thought it shaped up to be quite the night of scraps. I want to acknowledge that off the top. But it began and ended with Aaron Blanchfield, Manon Fiore, more than likely a title shot on the line. And quite simply, Manon Fiore beautifully executed a game plan against Aaron Blanchfield across five rounds, really just led the dance on the feet, so to speak. We knew going in that she was the more polished striker. I think that the physicality of Blanchfield was something people thought could this lead to issues. I thought Manon really did a great job just surgically dismantling a lot of that offense that Aaron was trying to get done. Just really forced Aaron to keep walking into things. Did it lead to a lot of carnage in the fight? No. But the fact that Manon was able to keep the fight on the feet, reverse takedowns, stop takedowns, reverse position when she was on the bottom in trouble, brilliantly executed. I want to commend the resiliency of Aaron Blanchfield. We talk about Dustin Poirier in that fight with Benoit St. Denis and how he was in trouble, but he just never went away. Aaron Blanchfield, to her credit, never went away. I thought she gave herself as many opportunities to make things happen over 25 minutes. She was just a little overmatched against Manon Fiore, and it is what it is. Great win for the contender from France. I believe this is 6 or 7 in a row. Natalie, what are your thoughts?
I was surprised by how physically dominant Manon Fiore was. You know, we did see it a little bit with Rose Namajunas, but, you know, Rose is a different level of fighter and more experienced, and so she was able to still do her thing a little bit, but, you know, there still was a size disadvantage with her, it being her debut in the division, it made sense. So for Aaron Blanchfield already having, you know, being used to fighting women in this size, I was very surprised that Manon just was stronger, faster, bigger, and used all of that to her advantage. Anytime Blanchfield got close enough to try any kind of a takedown, Manon shucked her easily. It was just, it reminded me, some of those moments reminded me of Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm. You know, not at all saying that Aaron Blanchfield is performing like Ronda Rousey was, but those moments where Holly Holm was able to be the matador and just easily, you know, move Rousey away, I thought Manon was doing the same with Blanchfield. Blanchfield obviously has a heck of a chin because she absorbed a million punches and never got rocked, never stumbled, just kept going forward. You know, the difference in striking is pretty vast. And, you know, Manon is an experienced striker from way back, and you can just see it. Aaron Blanchfield was kind of charging forward, and she did have moments of very of success. Head kicks, a couple of head kicks, some body kicks, even some punches, but nothing really deterred or derailed Fiore's game plan. And so I will say, considering how many shots Blanchfield was eating to the head, I was really impressed with how alert and, just totally still engaged she was when she would go to the corners, to the corner after every round. Like, she didn't seem at all deterred. She didn't seem slowed down mentally. So that is very impressive. I mean, she's young, 24. She got a nice fresh brain there. But yeah, I was very surprised. Blanchfield had almost no success. So it was a big win for Manon. Good experience, learning experience for Erin Blanchfield. This was the first time I've really seen her struggle. But she stayed positive. I wonder, is it just she was up against a bigger, better fighter? And or the hometown thing sometimes is a blessing, sometimes is a curse, So was it, and did any of that hometown experience affect her? She seems mentally very tough, so probably not. She just came up against someone that was, a really, really tough match, and this is only going to make her stronger. So, tough to lose like that, but it really showcased Manon's just, her striking, we already knew she had it, but her takedown defense was pretty good too.
Yeah, I think what you found was that, okay, Erin the grappler, Manon the striker, flip it. Manon's grappling ended up being better than Erin's striking, in this fight at least. And I think that that was something maybe was the X factor. It's like, all right, well, who will be able to actually neutralize the game and the main weapon of the other? It was Manon. And I think that that's really what opened up her to be able to do what she needed to in that fight. So brilliantly executed. I thought the commentary did a great thing pointing out, like she wasn't overextending herself, so she wasn't leaving herself in a position for Erin to rally back and create this, look, Jiri versus Glover 2, you know what I mean? Just like some maximum carnage. She wasn't leaving opportunities for Erin to get that rally. And I think that, like I said, I get it for your. For your hard-earned dollars, I can understand wanting a little bit more blood and maybe a little bit more sense of there's blood in the water, go for that finish. I get that, but I think that they pointed it out, like Manon knew what was on the line, knew it was not the time to do something silly. You're lighting her up, keep lighting her up. If you stun her, maybe she'll go for the finish. Credit to Erin's toughness. That's the kind of fight we had. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. The flyweight elephant. Imagine that. Okay, so Valentina and Alexa are in the middle of shooting tough. More than likely, you could probably bet your house on it, if neither of them gets hurt, the plan is for them to fight at the Sphere in September. This means at the earliest, because they don't book these things. I don't see a scenario where Valentina or Alexa, even if it's like a 10-second victory, turns it around to fight again this year. I just don't. So that means at least, I mean, this is still March. Pretty much talking close to a year, most likely, for Manon to have her title shot. She earned it. She deserves it. Here's the other, thing to address. Macy Barber. Six fights in a row, six victories in a row, I mean. More than likely, if she wants Rose Namajunas, they'll book her against Rose Namajunas. I don't know that there's another contender, but then you gotta talk about recency bias. Macy is a bigger name, more outspoken, also performing well. If you're Manon, do you worry about a scenario where Macy potentially gets two more fights this year? And she's the one who passes up and gets the title shot next in 25. What are your thoughts?
You're saying that Macy Barber bypasses Manon to get a title shot?
If Manon waits, can Macy pass her up for a title shot this year?
If Manon waits for the winner of Shevchenko and Grasso.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's possible. If I'm Manon, knowing how the UFC works, like, unless you are popping because you're knocking people out, because you're good on the mic, because you've built up a great following for whatever other reason, unless you're doing those things, you're kind of still in the, be a company man lane, right? And so if I'm Manon, I'm just like, I'll just take whoever's next. I don't care. I know my title shot will come. That is what I think she should do, and I feel like she will do that. Instead of, sitting on her haunches and saying, no, I deserve the next title shot. So it depends, of course, like you said, Macy Barber being the bigger name, if she wants Rose, it could be, Manon gets squeezed out because she's not as popular as either of those two fighters, Rose or Macy. But I wouldn't recommend for her to be choosing to sit out anything. I would just say, I'm game. I want to fight as soon as possible, is what I would suggest for her.
I agree with you. I think, look, I like Manon. She seems just like a nice girl, just goes out there to go do her thing. There's a bit of a language barrier, unfortunately. I think that does not help in this particular instance where lobbying for a title fight is a big part of the game, unfortunately. I think the fact that Macy is doing well, Macy just performed well at 299, which is a huge event. I think probably got more attention than this event, if I'm being quite honest, even though Manon won a main event. So yeah, I think that in this particular scenario, I can understand the temptation to say you're gonna wait. I'm pretty sure Manon would say, to probably take him out. And also, you're lining it up anyway. Think about it. If you beat, you just beat Aaron. If you beat Rose and Macy, I'm sorry, but really, you probably could, by process of elimination, you'll get whoever loses between Alexa and Valentina. And quite simply, as a fighter, I'm not saying you're looking for worse challenges, but I low-key feel like you would prefer people coming off a loss when their confidence may not be as high. So I think that Manon may feel like this is a little bit of chess, not checkers. You're waiting a year anyway. If you're feeling good, take on Macy, maybe closer to the summer, so you're lined up for Alexa and Valentina. And I'll say this, I think they deserve a main event. Much as it may be tempting to slot them in as a backup, I don't know that I want that for those two. I think that, they've been waiting a long time, they deserve to get paid, they deserve the shine, because quite simply, I still don't like how this all played out. I think that on the hype itself, I always feel like it should have gone Aaron Alexa, Manon Valentina, and then just keep lining these things up toward the title. Instead, Aaron has a great run, snap before she gets to fight for the title. We're waiting too long. Macy's in no woman's land. Manon, you get what I mean. It's kind of become a little bit of a cluster, you know what, you know?
Yeah, it has. Although I'll say the way Erin looked against Manon, like it did, she didn't perform in that fight. Styles make fights, so maybe just the right opponent would have made a more exciting fight. Would have brought out more of Erin, but in that fight, she didn't. Man, to me, her against Alexa Grasso, her against Shevchenko, like she gets smoked. So, maybe it's happening the way it's supposed to. Erin
Maybe
maybe needs a
styles
little
make
more.
fights. You never know. Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, all right, hey, fair enough then. Well, maybe that she does take that time off to get better and work some things. You never
Yeah.
know.
You never know, man. I
I'll
mean,
give you
it
that.
is such a strange sport. Like, we've seen it. Someone that gets, skewered by one opponent that lost to somebody else can then go fight that somebody else and, knock them out, and that's it. It's just MMA math is hilarious. Anyway.
Also, final note, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to see Aaron and Macy coming off wins against each other. They just have that, I don't know, just, you're the next big thing. No, I'm the next big thing.
All
It's just
American,
like,
tough, like, yeah.
they had such a specific kind of heat that it was like, kind of just want to see you guys resolve this the only way you should, you know? But
Yeah.
One day they'll get in there. I believe that. Let's talk about a little bit of the stuff on the undercard. Chris Weidman back in the win column. Look, he had the injury, came back, didn't have a good one against Brad Tavares. Injured it a little bit again, comes back, and look, I think a lot of people wanted a good moment for Weidman, particularly, in New Jersey, close to Long Island and everything else. I'm not gonna lie, Natalie, I like Chris. That was too many fouls for me to smile about it. I'm sorry. What about you?
It was a lot of eye pokes. I know he got one too, but like he got one versus doling out at least like four. And he just from the beginning of the fight had his hand outstretched with his fingers, like his arm out with his fingers outstretched. I don't recall him, having that stance so pronounced before. Maybe it's just,
The ref calls him out on it a
everyone,
bit.
I yeah, the ref calls him, everyone makes tweaks, and maybe that's just a tweak he made. But I will say this, when the fight finished and he was with his arms up, and then we saw the replay, and it's like, oh man, it was a double eye poke at the end. And Paul Felder's like, I don't know what they're gonna do about this, And I was feeling bad already. I was like, ah, poor Chris Weidman, just man can't catch a break. He thinks he won, but he didn't. And then, they give him the win. They call it a TKO. And I really, when I heard him on the mic, I was like, you know what? I accept that explanation. He said, I told them you can't drop to your knees for an eye poke. You take a step back, you call the ref. But if you drop to your knees, like that's you can't do that. And it's true. He'd already done it once before. Was the eye pain so severe that he had to drop to his knees? I don't know. You rarely see anyone fall down like that from eye pokes, and that's why it looked like Weidman had knocked him down. So I accept that. I think he's right, and I'm satisfied with the win. Weidman did up until that point, because they ended up reversing the TKO or changing it to unanimous decision. He won those rounds, fair clearly. So at this point, I'm comfortable with his victory, and but it was, gosh darn, was it a lot of eye pokes?
It's like,
It's like
was Michael
crazy, man.
Hey, Michael Bisping should have said something like,
I
"Hey
mean, like,
guys, believe it or not, you don't always recover from these things. Take
yeah,
it from me."
that man Silva has, lived however many, I don't know how old he is, however many years, and no one has touched his eyeballs as many times as Chris Weidman has. Like, it's just like a, like,
Bruh.
put it in the record books, like this, Chris Weidman touched this guy's eyeballs
Those are just some
five
hard
times.
fouls. And it's like the fact that it was the same thing just made me uncomfortable. I'm sorry, Chris, it just did. I gotta call it down the
We're
middle
owning
on
it,
that
right?
one.
Yeah, like if it he's so likable and we all want him to win.
Especially after what he's been through, but it's just like,
Yeah.
stop doing it,
If it was
please. You're making this
anybody
hard.
else, he would have been,
It would
he
have
would
been
have been
great. We
screwed.
would have been, like Dustin Poirier, I want these vets because you don't know how many
Yeah.
they got in the tank at a certain point, right?
Yeah.
I get it.
I will say his walkout song, and him being the guy that walks out to that song, it's still one of the best. I
I'll give you
get
that.
excited every time I hear it. And he was hometown, like
Absolutely amazing ambassador for our game. Like top to bottom. Him and Frankie Edgar getting UFC to New York and being the faces to talk to people over there at lobby and essentially, go out there, shake hands, kiss babies, and show people what the fighting is all about and what it could do for you is great. Poor Bruno Silva's a nice guy. I've talked to him. Sorry, okay? I'll move on. Joaquin Buckley. What a performance against Vicente Luque. On fire, on point, defended takedowns, reversed it. Luque is a very well-rounded, tough veteran, particularly at welterweight. Remember, Buckley had come down recently from 185. And Buckley really just looked all systems go, gets it done early in the second. Very impressed with him. What about you?
Yeah, he looked great. He looked really great. Strong, confident, fast. Luque went in for kind of a sloppy takedown, and Joaquin, just with those strong hips, was able to, sprawl, sort of a sprawl slash reversal, and That was it, man. Just started wailing on him on Luke, and I was surprised that Luke was he just covered up so quickly, and I wonder if that was a strategy or he really just was like, this hurts and I have no answers. Because it I was not I was it's not what I would have expected from Luke.
Yeah, I thought that it was look, and I want to give full credit to Buckley. I think that that's the one where I'm just like, no, that they really what's it called? They just really got it done. Or sorry, he just really got it done is what I'm trying to point out. But yeah, I know he threw water on the whole Kevin Holland rematch. That would have been low key fun, but I get it. I also appreciate it. He threw his hat in the ring. He's like, nah. I'm St. Louis, St. Louis, however you say it. I don't care about Derrick Lewis. You put me in that main event. That's not gonna happen, but I like the energy. By the way, I wanted to point out, I attached it, who is filled in as a co-host over here, Brianna Eckert of BriBri Talks MMA and her podcast, had an interview. They did a great job pointing out this for that St. Louis card. And Joaquin Buckley was one of the top guys. It's like, oh, well, you got to put Buckley on it. And I just want to point it out. It was really well done. I don't know that I would have told you without this video, I would have been the most invested. Like, okay, UFC Africa when we have Izzy and Kamaru and Ngannou. Okay. The England card with Aspinall, Leon Edwards. Okay. I don't know that it's like, oh, that St. Louis card has to be loaded. I appreciated their energy. I was like, wait, why isn't there a better St. Louis card? This could be awesome. I loved it. And I just want to point it out. I think that sometimes when you get so used to the machine, you kind of start to just focus on the highlights. That one made me realize I really want them to have a great card for St. Louis. So I just wanted to highlight that. I know BriBri listens occasionally. So, BriBri, if you're listening, I love that video. Y'all cooked on that one, as the young people like to say. Keep it up. So. I really liked it. It made me realize I hope they do a lot of these things. You know what I mean? Quite the night. Kyle Nelson, Nate Landwehr, good finishes, good decent night of scraps. So just a nice return to Atlantic City. They haven't been there in a minute. I think since Barbosa and Kevin Lee, which was years ago. So nice to be back on the boardwalk for some alliteration. In other news, Dana White, I gotta say, for a fight night, I appreciated the energy. It made me feel like if he had his way, he would have made this a pay-per-view. The UFC's event in Saudi Arabia, which was rescheduled from earlier this year, is now going to be taking place on, oh my God, I just had it right there,
June
right here.
22nd, he
June
says here.
22nd, thank you. Headlined by two top middleweights, the former champion Robert Whittaker against Khamzat Chimaev. It's going to be on ABC and it's got a stacked main card. Sergey Pavlovich is back taking on Alexander Volkov. Johnny Walker taking on fellow striker Volkan Oezdemir. And Kelvin Gastelum taking on D-Rod Daniel Rodriguez. I gotta say, Natalie, probably going to happen at like 11 a.m. And it's going to be the best thing I've watched during lunch in a long time. What about you?
Yeah, this is great. I love the ABC cards. Because it's in Saudi Arabia, well, not necessarily because, but I think they always do the ABC cards in the middle of the day, right?
Some of them they kind of put it, they gear it midday prime time. So if they have like college basketball or football, it won't counter program. It won't compete.
So this is great. It's a really good card. Like you got Johnny Walker, Kelvin Gastelum versus D-Rod. That's gonna be crazy, dude. So yeah, but the main event, the headliners there, Khamzat Robert Whittaker, dude. Like Robert Whittaker looks so good against Paulo Costa. Khamzat, like this is killer, bro. For free, I'll take it.
No, for real. If we're being honest, you could have put them on a different card and it would have bolstered the pay-per-view.
For
The
sure.
fact that that's a fight night, I think that speaks to the deal they made in Saudi Arabia. That's a get the fans in their seats kind of fight. I like Rob. I'm a big fan. Obviously, I saw he was the underdog. I mean, the disrespect.
The disrespect,
I think for Khamzat, This is probably more so than I hate to say it, but coming out of that Kamaru fight, there's more questions than answers for Khamzat at 185. I know he broke his hand. I know he said he broke his hand. Change that fight. You're taking on Kamaru Usman on 8 days' notice. You've been training, bulking up to be a strong middleweight, no? The fact that it was as competitive down the stretch as it was didn't give me the best, jolt of momentum saying, oh, Khamzat's gonna keep doing Khamzat things at the top of 85. So going against Robert Whittaker now, I think there is a lot of question. Whittaker, quite bluntly, is a different animal than off the couch Kamaru Usman. I think that you really got to be on to beat a guy like Rob. We saw Paulo Costa with all that physicality still struggle with a guy like Whittaker. The wrestling is obviously a huge factor, the cardio is a huge factor, but I think that for Khamzat to kind of really, exercise these demons that have been kind of hovering over him, you really got to deliver here against Whittaker. Because this one, you beat a guy like Whittaker, I'm hyped for you versus Dracus, you versus Sean, certainly you versus Adesanya, the superstars. It's great. But this is the kind of fight where, it's kind of put up or shut up. I know there's been so many videos. Why can Khamzat only fight here and there? Look, he's being mum about it for reasons I can imagine. You want to change the narrative? You go out there and you really bring it against Robert Whittaker. And I think that's the story of the fight. For Whittaker, obviously this moment is huge. He's only 0-1 against Dracus. You could certainly get back there again. You haven't fought Sean Strickland yet either. So you beat him. There's a great conversation to potentially work your way back into that title picture and really get a title fight. So big fight for both guys. Pavlovich and Volkov. The two Russian strikers, two very different cars. You got essentially the Corvette against that freaking Mustang, like Vin Diesel's driving around Fast and Furious. Love it. It's good. Johnny Walker and Vulcan, probably gonna bang. Love it. So, like you said, it's a great card. I'll be honest, this is the first time in a long time I can think of that they hyped up, oh, it's on ABC. We've gotten so used to the ESPN Plus thing and everything else that I can't remember the last time we're like, oh, this card's on ABC. I think that's very telling considering, the broadcast deal co up at the end of the year. So I do like it. I think it's a great move by all parties involved to exercise it a bit.
Cannot complain.
June 22nd. I can't wait. Freaking 2 months.
That is fast, right? Like all of a sudden it's like, whoa,
They had to have
Hamzat's
been
fighting
talking about
again.
it.
Whitaker's back. Like,
They had to have like touched base with them a few weeks ago. Then you got 2 months straight in. Yeah, it's good. Going back to talk about St. Louis, Derek Lewis taking on Rodrigo Nascimento, May 11th, like we just talked about. Lewis is obviously looking to bounce back again after the loss to Jelton Almeida. Nascimento is 11-1, been in the UFC since 2019 after winning a contract on the Contender Series. Three fight win streak going into the bout with the Beast. What are your thoughts on this one?
Excuse me. Well, Derek Lewis is always like, it's like Tai Tuivasa. It doesn't matter what the record is, the most recent record, because when it works, when it clicks, it's amazing. And so you're always still hoping for Derek Lewis to just do something crazy. Crazy knockout, crazy, his like snake move at the end, his on the mic. So that's
Totally.
part we get excited when we see Derek Lewis. It's like in the old days with Mark Hunt, you were looking for that, waiting for that walk-off knockout, walk-off home run. And then at a certain point, just wasn't happening anymore. And it's just like, oh man, he's just getting beat up but not knocked out because he's too tough. So I'm hoping we're not there with Derek Lewis and he's still got, pop in him. So for now, it's still exciting when he's on the card. And he's Derek freaking Lewis, and so he's always going to be headlining. He's going to be headlining for as long as is possible, because again, when it works, it works.
Yeah, I'm with you there 1000%. I think that for Rodrigo, this is really about, this is one of those moments. You feel like you're getting Derek Lewis at a great time. Derek Lewis, when he wins, it's like it turns back the clock. Just like when Ty, he knocks someone out, feels like you're turning back the clock. It does feel a little bit like a tough spot for Derek. I'm aware it hasn't been the best times in the kingdom overall. That being said, I mean, he's there because he's Derek Lewis, as you pointed out. So I think that sometimes that makes for a more epic fight. I know that Rodrigo's got to be licking his chops, being this is my moment, main event, breakout, start becoming those one of those guys that fans talk about. So I think it's really good in that way. Once again, shouting out my friends, I think this one just needs a good undercard. I want a good, fun guy for Buckley, maybe like a Jeff Neal type. Know what I mean? Someone like that I think would be really fun with Buckley. Some other good fights in there. Charles Johnson, guys like that. I think we could have something good. It just has to be packaged a good way, and I'm down for St. Louis getting a banger. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So, I think it'll be good. But yeah, I think this one begins and ends with, can Derek Lewis turn back the clock? You know what I mean?
It's like that Toby Keith song, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. And so that's where we are with Derek Lewis. We're just wanting to see a little bit of that old Derek Lewis come back for, one, two, three more fights, and that's where it is right now.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll
Well,
be a good fight
yeah, for
again.
sure.
I'm looking forward to all of them. I didn't realize I say that a lot. It's because I do. That's why I have
Just
this job.
love it, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about some things. No fights, but they just announced some dates and locations. These are speculated, but they're on the books, so just want to throw them out there. Pay-per-views for the UFC in Newark and Perth. The Newark, New Jersey card will be UFC 302 on June 1st. Perth, Australia will get UFC 305 on August 18th. To point out, 303 is International Fight Week in Vegas. 304 hasn't been given a date yet, but a lot of people are expecting it will be the Manchester pay-per-view. Very likely we'll get a guy like Aspinall or Leon Edwards on that card. And yeah, Natalie, what are your thoughts on this and maybe even some fights you may want to see on these cards?
Oh man, excuse me. I'm not sure. Well, look, I'll say for Australia, I did read about Robert Whittaker saying, "Well, I thought I would get on that card, but well, I'll take Saudi Arabia, right?"
There you go.
It's soon, sooner than August. So, and in any case, Australia, New Jersey, what I'm glad about is that you're getting a pay-per-view in New Jersey. That seems cool. I don't know when's the last time they actually had a pay-per-view there, but
Feel like it might be a. It used to be like an annual stop. Now it's like it might have been 2 years.
all right.
Just like how they rarely do Brooklyn Barclays Center, even though it's a great venue for it.
I wish this is going a little off topic, but I've with how the this fight was on Saturday with the crowd and everything, like, it did remind me of the older days before COVID, and I wish they would do more of those. Like, they have the money, they have the means, they have the power to do this more local fights instead of, Apex stuff. But in any case, Australia is always fun. You always get good headliners and then lots of good local stuff. So, I'm excited for both of those. But yeah, we'll be curious. I don't have any ideas of what who would be good on those cards right now, but
I mean, I
just
try to think about. I was just listening to the Makhachev interview. I've seen the highlights. I know what he said, but he wants a fight. He wants a fight that would put him on the good timetable to do Abu Dhabi or Madison Square Garden. He wants to. So it kind of feels like Islam in June against anybody. See, tickets. One of our coworkers at Cageside Press pointed this out. Tickets go on sale before UFC 300, so
That's
it
weird.
makes you wonder. Like, put it. Let's say, like hypothetically, Gaethje 5 second knockouts Max Holloway. Hypothetically, would he be down to turn it around for June for a title shot against Islam, or is he like, yo, I had a hard camp, not doing that? So it makes you wonder, like, are they going to try to hold it to see if one of these four guys, Armin, Charles, Max, Justin, can flip it? Or are they just going to run with it and say Islam, Dustin Poirier, and we'll figure out the rest of the pecking order later? What do you think?
They might because of that performance that Dustin had. It was just electric. And they might. It's right there. He's the timing works out. You don't have to wait for this and that and what if this and well, let's just in case of something else happening, like I would say just if that's what they're thinking, just do it. And then you can still, load it up with other lightweights as backups or just, to make the card extra exciting, but I do believe that Dustin Poirier earned it, and it's fine. I wouldn't be disappointed if they just gave it to him straight away.
Under the circumstances, look, literally all four guys are unavailable. Of course, it should be Dustin if the fight has to be made. I just think with this whole situation, I just still really don't like how someone gets screwed on the calendar. Charles, Justin,
Justin,
Armin. I still think if Max gets the dub against Justin, he's gonna cash that in against Delia before Islam, just plain and simple. But just because I think that Max versus Ilia in like Spain would be huge. Respectfully, we just saw Volk and Ilia. I want something new for Ilia. So that's just how I feel about it. That being said, my prediction is Islam versus Dustin in Newark. I don't know who they would go with Australia. The first thing that came to mind was if Conor gets International Fight Week, you put Adesanya and Dracus in Australia. I don't, it's the only way it fits. I don't know I'm pretty sure Dracus doesn't want to wait quite that long, but here we are, and maybe that time off is better for Adesanya and makes for a better fight. So who knows? But those are the only title fights. Merab and Sean O'Malley, for example, I'm gonna throw this out there. I don't think they're gonna fight until like MSG. I think they're gonna put O'Malley and Merab in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, you're probably right because just O'Malley's just so big right now, and that's the place for the big stars.
And
So, yeah.
we'll see if they do Spain in September, for example. Obviously, it'll be time for Ilia, and we'll go from there. We figured it out, Natalie. We
Yes,
figured out what it
sir.
should be.
Send that fax to Dana White.
Can you imagine if we actually could?
First of all, he'd be like, I don't have a freaking fax machine.
I know, right? Hunter Campbell hands me my faxes, son. I
Yes.
don't have one of those in the office.
Oh
Yeah. True story.
my God, so funny.
Before we talk about UFC, the PFL kicking off the regular season, heavyweights and women's flyweights in the tournament. You know what? I'm not gonna lie. I had this question. What are you doing with Bellator? What are you doing with PFL? Now that they've announced the lineups, Natalie, I really like it. I am very interested in the regular season for what they have lined up so far. What stood out to you from the lineup from the first event in San Antonio?
Let's see here. Sorry, I'm doing a little live viewing. Well,
I like
Liz
Liz, so
Carmouche.
one. I'll give you the one that's maybe like the biggest question mark. Liz
Yeah.
Carmouche against Juliana Velasquez, number three.
Yeah, I like that one.
It's good, but I'm like, I guess I feel like I've gotten enough Liz versus Juliana. I felt like there could have been a lot more parity, but I don't know if they're just trying to build it up, and maybe someone like Tyler Santos, who's going to be there now. Tyler Santos is part of PFL after a great run in UFC. So it's like, all right, are you hoping she makes the final and she fights a Liz? Dakota Dicheva, who won the PFL Europe tournament, spoke with her. Excited. I think that that could be a fun one. So I don't know if they're just trying to avoid those matchups before the final, but I'm really interested to see the women have this stage and how they perform with it. In terms of the guys, I thought we were all systems go for Linton Vassell taking on Ryan Bader for the Bellator belt. I like him at heavyweight. I think him in the tournament, I think against Goltsov, I believe. I like Moldavsky having a kind of second chance to make something happen in the
Yeah.
tournament. I think it's good. What about you?
Yeah, it's good. I'm not like jumping over the moon here, but okay, it's nice to see some familiar faces doing the tournament, familiar Bellator faces. Yeah, Linton Vassell. It's gonna be fun. And this is what we were wanting to see. Partially, it would have. Is when PFL acquired Bellator to see these faces doing the tournament. And like we've seen some of these bigger names like what's that Pettis. Oh man, I can't believe I blanked on Anthony Pettis's name. Pettis and other of the bigger names struggling with this tournament format. So let's see how the Bellator with the UFC guys struggling with it. Let's see how the Bellator guys do with it. They've I don't recall Linton Vassell's. I'm sure he was in some Bellator tournaments, but they're run a little bit differently than the PFL ones, right? The PFL ones are a little more taxing. So, let's see how they do. That's definitely something I'm curious about.
Let me throw this question out at you. Do you feel like the PFL people have a point to prove following the Bellator
Of
PFL
course,
pay-per-view?
always, man, always. Doesn't matter if everyone's smiling and saying, "Oh, we're happy to have new competition." You still gotta remind them whose yard you're about to enter. And so, yeah, they do.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I didn't feel like we had enough PFL. Well, I guess there are more PFL versus Bellator matchups, but found the PFL guys, I'm like, oh heck no.
Yeah.
There ain't, I don't want to hear about this the rest of my career, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Bellator people love it, but, you know, it's time to, you know, kind of like the boxers wanting to get one on Jake Paul, you know? Or
Yeah.
MMA against Jake Paul, like, nah, the buck stops here. Let's do
Hey,
this.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Speaking of Liz Carmouche, I know Alima-Leigh McFarlane has had like neck surgery or something, so she's not, cleared, ready to fight. But has she said at all about what her plans would be if she returns to fighting? Is she going to be doing tournament or has she expressed her interests or expressed what PFL has said to her?
She hasn't, and I think that that's maybe on her to kind of make that decision at some point. I think the way she sees it, she could probably get a spot on a nice card, have a fight, you know, one last chance to get the dub, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or she may be sitting there at the house thinking, how bad do I want it? How good do I really feel?
Yeah.
And just says, you know what? We had a great run, made a good amount of money. It's been great. Thanks for the
Yeah.
cheese.
Thanks for the cheese. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think she's just waiting to see how she feels later, and I'm sure they'll give her a fight if she wants it. I think for her, it's about how bad do I want it and how good do I actually feel? And I don't think she can answer those questions just yet. So,
Yeah, fair enough.
yeah. But yeah, so also, I'm interested to see. I think Liz Carmouche likes it, but I wonder how much she cares for trying to make 135 happen. I think unfortunately, just like the featherweights, there's not enough depth. Oh my gosh, I'm stuttering. There's not enough depth, I think, for PFL to be like, yeah, we could do a 135 thing. I think they're just not interested. They'd rather just keep doing things at 25. And also, you know, for the women, I mean, you got Aspen Ladd, Amber Liebrock. I mean, what do they do with these ladies who were the featherweights last year? I'm not sure. So, hope they end up on card soon.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this Saturday's UFC main event. Back to the Apex for the rematch. Brendan Allen, still TBD on whether he'll be wearing purple shorts, but he's on a great run. Taking on fan favorite Chris Curtis, who got back in the win column earlier this year, steps up like a gangster. And I think it's had less than a month's notice for this one. Obviously, Brendan was preparing for Marvin Vettori, who is a very established contender. They fought before. Oh my gosh, I told myself I would remember it and I knew I'd forget
Oh,
it.
wait, here, January or December 4th, 2021.
Brennan won, right? Or was it
Yeah, he
Chris?
did. He won round two, punches
Yeah.
and knees, it
Yeah,
says
he
here on
got him.
Tapology.
Yeah, he took out Chris. No, he lost to Chris. Chris Curtis beat Brendan. Okay, and look, so respectfully, Brendan Allen, since then, he's gone in a honestly just such a consistent run. I believe this is five in a row, six in a row. Really
Oh, yeah,
broke
sorry.
through.
Yes, of course. I was looking at it the wrong way. Yeah, Chris Curtis won. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, look, look, beat stop Bruno Silva, stop Paul Craig. Chris Curtis, I think overall, well, look, they're both very experienced. Chris Curtis also has a lot of fights on his record. Very experienced guys at middleweight. Obviously, a lot to prove for both of them. What are your thoughts on this one?
Hey, look, yeah, Chris Curtis stepping in. We always love when fighters, well, we almost always love when fighters do that. It's a tougher pill to swallow when so much is on the line, like with Volkanovski. But when it's just not to dismiss the nature of stepping up on short notice, but when it's, when the belt is not on the line, it's, less to lose if you lose, if that makes any sense. So we appreciate the short notice stepping in. It's just like cool, it's tough, it's awesome. It's like, yeah, let's go. Chris Curtis, I like him. He's game. He's always there to fight, and I appreciate that. Brendan Allen is on quite the winning streak though, so that's gonna be interesting. And look, it could go either way, right? Let's like the most iconic example of success on short notice is Michael Bisping, Luke Rockhold. Could have one of those moments where you come in hot and it's the lack of pressure and stress that allows you to perform at your best. But then there's Volk, and we saw what happened there. So, I'm not sure how this could go, but Chris Curtis is definitely stepping in to face a like tough and confident Brendan Allen, who's been winning since what? He hasn't lost. I mean, since Chris Curtis, actually. So, I mean, he's been winning since then. So let's see, right? Does Chris Curtis give him his first loss since Chris Curtis gave him a loss? I don't know, man. I'm really not sure how this one's gonna go, but just with how things usually work, with the exceptions of like Michael Bisping, probably Brendan Allen's gonna get the win. His last four wins came by rear naked choke.
Good
So
point.
maybe he's got a fifth one on the line. Two of them were round one, two of them were round three. This is a presumably still a 5-round fight. So, there's room there for him to get it in four or five, should Chris Curtis prove too difficult to submit in one, two, or three. But just based on what I'm seeing from recent performances, I got to go with Brendan Allen, and I'm gonna go ahead and pick a victory via submission.
Rear
I'm
naked
just,
choke.
why not? It's there. The trend is there. Rear naked choke. I'm gonna say round four.
So the thing I will say is that I think that Chris Curtis is in good enough shape that he's probably I'm not saying we're getting 100% Chris Curtis, but he's certainly over 85%, and that's more than enough in a 5-round fight, for a guy who's got a lot of experience like he does. And then exactly how much training was he doing before this? Only he knows. He might have been staying trim, anticipating a fight, and it just happened faster than expected. So he's got a good head of steam, good enough time, I think, to get himself a little more dialed in. But yeah, the momentum behind Brendan Allen, I just think he's putting it together against great competition. He's really dismantled guys like Paul Craig, who is no pushover. Bruno Silva, very tough guy too. Went the distance with Pereira. These are very difficult fighters, and Brendan Allen's gotten the job done. I think confidence is a real weapon. I think the experience, he's had several more fights, that becomes more of a weapon. So yeah, I think in this particular, circumstance and just with the context, I do agree with you. It feels like it should be Chris, sorry, Brendan Allen's moment to get it back. I think Chris Curtis is going to be really tough. You know what? Now you got me wanting to see it. I'm going Brendan Allen rear naked choke too.
Okay.
Just because.
I like it.
Yeah, so look, we'll obviously break all that down, results and everything in between. I did want to ask you, Natalie,
Yeah.
next week is here.
It's here.
UFC 300. I could talk about one of them, but let's be real, that'd be disrespectful to all of them. We're gonna have a great show. What are you most looking forward to digging into from, let's be real, the seminal event? This is our first centennial that we're celebrating together, Natalie.
Yeah, wow, yes, it is. man, digging into Zhang Weili, Yan Shonan, probably, and BMF 2, or BMF, I guess technically this is BMF 2 for Justin Gaethje.
I
But
was
you know
gonna say, if
what?
they're like a movie, this is BMF
This
three.
is BMF 3, yeah. But Charles Oliveira, also excited to see how he looks, man. In that trailer, that commercial they made for UFC 300, when like the fighters are sitting in that dark room watching TV.
And the Bob O'Reilly remix.
Yeah, and it's
Oh,
like,
it's so good.
teenage. Okay, and then they show his face. God, is he frightening? My goodness, just scary. I say this every time. If I saw him walking down the street, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna cross over here. He's just a scary looking dude. That big brow, those dark eyes. I'm excited to see him back, man.
I think that of all the fights, that's the one I think fans are most invested in is Charles versus Armin. Stylistically, it's good. High stakes, probably a title shot on the line, which is disrespectful, but how can you know, let's talk about Justin Gaethje now. It's like, how can you not? And obviously for Max and what he's got, so that whole thing is great. Kayla Harrison
Yes,
finally
Kayla
making her
Harrison.
UFC debut.
Can they put her picture on the website, please? I mean, come on now.
For she
Bring
hasn't
her
done
in
her
for a photo
photo
shoot.
shoot yet. She hasn't done the
Bring
photo
her.
shoot yet. But look, I'm so looking forward to that. She's that's one of the top things. Can she make 35? How will she look? And you know what she can do if she handles business, gets on the mic. So there's a lot of anticipation for her promotional debut to me. I mean, she wasn't, you know, she was doing her thing in PFL with what was available, you know what I mean?
Right.
So excited for that. Stylistically, Jiří versus Rakic,
Yeah.
that's a fun fight. I mean, you could have put that on the pay-per-view and people would have been happy.
I know, isn't that crazy that it's the undercard,
I
the
mean, hey, this is one, I swear, I get it. It's a different ball game. I hope UFC 300 is that one where even all the rich people show up early. This
Yeah.
isn't a show up for the last three fights
Yeah,
event.
it's
This is a
disrespectful to
you
not.
get here at 3 p.m. with your beer and your t-shirt and you have fun.
Yep. I mean, you got Jessica Andrade on the early prelims?
Who's
That's
opening the
crazy.
card again? Is it Cody and Davison?
Yes.
Yes. I
That's
think people thought it
insane.
might be Jim Miller. I mean,
No,
dude.
it's Davison, Cody Garbrandt opening the pay-per-view event. I mean, opening the card. Bobby Green, Jim, like that's crazy, man. Early prelims. Nobody watches early prelims.
This is
You
gonna
better
be early
prepare.
prelims, dude. Do you have what? I mean, you've seen all those graphics. Most former champion, most gold that's ever been on a card, most this ever been on a
Yeah.
card. All the bonuses. Holly's in the Boxing Hall of Fame. Kayla
Yeah.
Harrison's a two-time gold medalist in judo. Let's flip and go. I'm so excited.
I am too, man.
I'm
And
gonna not.
like,
Go ahead.
forget about the headliner being, it's a good headliner, right? Everyone was like, well, whatever. But if you just cover that on your computer and just scroll from, Zhang Weili down, it's like, oh my God, this card is amazing. And then you still get an amazing headliner. Like, it's still gonna be a killer fight. They're just not superstars, but it's still a killer fight.
And I think, look, time will tell. Let's say John Jones fights December next year or this year. Let's say they have a really big build up to Dricus Adesanya. Then we could talk about how important is a superstar. As a collection of fights? I no, really, has there really been one better? And I get it, 299 was sick. You tell me, who is a pay-per-view fighter? Charles. That
Yeah,
is a pay-per-view
pay-per-view
fighter.
fighter.
Justin Gaethje, pay-per-view fighter.
Max
I know
Holloway.
he was on the
Yeah.
fight nights. Max Holloway, that is a pay-per-view fighter. Zhang Weili, that's a pay-per-view fighter. These days, Alex Pereira, pay-per-view fighter. That is,
Aljamain Sterling. I mean, come on.
and he's on the prelims, but which is what, you know. You get my point though. Is
Yeah.
that like these are no you okay? Like, what is our biggest thing with the price of the pay-per-views? I get it, inflation and all this. I know it's a lot more expensive than it used to be, and we could have this long talk about all this prices and all this other stuff. As a fan, when you are sitting there, whether it be just with like your small family, whether you have friends over, whether you order a pizza, whether it's just you, if you want to enjoy this thing uninterrupted with all the other things that come when you access the content in other ways, what do you want? You want bang for your buck. You want to feel like you're paying for the most premium product for that price tag, right? And I
Yeah.
think when you look at all those names at the top of that card for the last five fights, that is about as good as you could get star power wise collectively. And even the I'll say this, I get it. You're building Bo Nickel, you're pushing Bo Nickel. I get it. I like Bo objectively. He's a nice guy. I've met him and talked with him. You could have gone Jiri and Rokic and just keep building. I mean, look at the star power behind those two. You could put a Cody and Davison. Kayla and Holly would have also been really big. So, you know, collectively as a set of fights, it's just for the price tag. I think that's one thing you can't complain about. And look, I get it. How do you feel about the matchups objectively, individually? Okay, that's another one, but I think you're getting a lot of great matchups and a lot of star power involved. And when I think about the price tag, that's the two things I most care about, and we are being given that with 300.
You are, we are definitely getting that, man. And then some. It's absolutely bang for your buck delivered.
Yeah, so we're gonna start talking about it next week.
Oh,
I
yeah.
can't wait. Fans, thank you so much for listening. Remember, like, comment, subscribe. Until then, have a good one.